Hey, gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. I go there for the articles, but it also has great shows, and it's got a great donate button that you can click on and send shekels. We will be joined momentarily by William from Montana to go over this whole Trump-Putin summit. It's good news, and I think William is ready. William, hey, welcome William. To the show.
Yes, I've been ready for quite some time. It was great. There was a lot. I not only watched the whole thing. I got up at 2 in the morning so that I could get some of the raw feeds from Europe and Russia, because everybody was coming out swinging before, the Helsinki thing began, which, was like 4:30 my time, Mountain Standard Time. Helsinki is like 9 hours ahead of here, 7 hours ahead of, like, the East Coast. And the run-up to this conference was equally as informative, because a lot of people came out on both sides of the pond talking about what this was going to be. In some respects, I would say that there was a lot accomplished. And the biggest thing that was accomplished was that this thing even happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, Trump, no matter what you believe, he is, or how you feel about him, I mean, he did something that, for all practical purposes, was impossible to pull off. That meeting between he and Putin, it had everybody lining up in D.C. before Trump was even elected. They were saying, even bringing this up in, when he was running for president, was already fighting words. I mean, they did everything in their power to make sure, and the whole thing, beginning with Flynn being accused of being a traitor, and then, Trump capitulating and saying, yeah, he's got to go because my good buddy Pence said that he deceived him. And, if you look at the details, none of that was happening. So I don't see much of the reaction that happened to this as being anything except a continuation of something was set up before he even took office. I thought a lot got accomplished. And in some ways, I think the winners were the fact of the contrast that was displayed for the world between the American press and the Russian press. It was stark contrast. It's almost like you would say, well, they came out and they really said a lot of bad things. Well, it wasn't that the whole world wasn't watching, and it didn't make much sense what they were saying, calling him a traitor, calling for him to be arrested upon landing. You couldn't even follow it. You couldn't understand what they weren't talking about the issues. They were talking about the man and the men, both of them. All the comments, from the swamp and from the prostitute media here in the West, all of their, if you listen, all of their comments were about the men. It was argumentum ad hominem. Attack the men. They're very bad. They're traitors. They're tyrants. And the issues, and there were issues that were talked about in the dual press conference, you don't hear much of that. That's like just sort of swept under the rug. Like, we don't need to talk about issues. We need to talk about impeachment. We need to talk about, taking the fight to Putin. because he's coming after us. He's out of control. Like I say, the whole world was sort of watching, and they got a very distinct impression about the differences in the way these two countries, came off. And I read a lot of raw news feeds in Europe where Trump actually got a kick up in people saying, he was courageous.
Mm-hmm.
He was forthcoming. They saw him as saying, he's not our style, but I mean, you don't have to wonder about where he's coming from. He doesn't coat everything. They said this is kind of it shocked a few people. They said it was refreshing to see this unpolished politician, really telling people what he felt. Whereas in the Western press, it was all about, oh, he didn't take the fight to Putin. Oh, he turned over everything. He really is. It's obvious that he's been a spy. He's been a plant. And that type of banter, that type of ridiculousness, people were saying, what are you talking about? This was a big first step.
The idea that the Russians made him president, it's just so ridiculous. When you think of the entire mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
because remember, even Tucker Carlson wasn't on the mainstream media. He was kind of out in the woods until after the election. The only person who was sticking up for Trump was Sean Hannity. I have to give him credit for that. I won't give him credit for anything else, though. The entire media was against him. Now, early in the campaign, because Trump made himself accessible and they really weren't worried about him, he got a lot of free press. But once he started picking up steam, there was just this unprecedented kind of full court press against him. And to think that anything that Russian bots on Facebook could have done, or that why would Hillary Clinton's emails or the DNC's emails be a negative for the Democrats, except that the emails themselves revealed how treasonous they are, and basically supporting ISIS, among other things. But what is it that the Russians could have possibly done to have overcome all the power of our media, which we know is huge? It's the whole thing is just so silly and laughable, and yet people—I don't know how many people really still believe it. I guess a lot of people do. They've been gaslit, to use a modern term, because the press is still talking like this. But do you think that it's more and more people are starting to wake up to what to something or another is just not right? Do you have a feeling on it? Okay, we have a technical issue. We'll be right back with William. Because this is what I've been wondering is, I know people from that I've rubbed elbows with over the decades. And a lot of them oppose. Hi, William, you're back with us, eh?
Yeah, we don't know how that sort of came about, but
Russian bots. It was Russian bots. No, I mean, I was
maybe
asking a long-winded question, but the crux of it was that, there's nothing that Russia could have done that would be 1/1000th of the influence that our mainstream Zio media has over the electorate. So that's argument that Russia put him in office is kind of absurd on its face. And my question was, either that or so many of the other absurd things, do you think that people are catching on? that people are knowing, hey, something's not right here?
Well, you know, much of the press, you know, comes out of the East Coast and the West Coast, you know, which really isn't, you know, Trump's base. And, you know, but you don't hear very much about what, you know, the mid part of the country, the conservative part of the country, you don't hear a lot about what they're saying about this. And in many respects, I believe that this whole thing is making the, you know, in many respects, this is about the midterm elections. You know, no matter, you know, yes, there's world, you know, threatening situations that these first steps may continue to work towards. But, you know, Trump is not forgetting that he is being he's on display to his base. And I believe that more people are starting to see just how bizarre this prostitute, you know, controlled media is. And they're starting to understand that Trump has been hamstringed. He's been thwarted from the, you know, from the first he entered into the White House, and he's just beginning to get control. And I think that if you go down a checklist of what his base wanted him to do, he's actually sort of checking things off. You know, he pulled this off. I think many people are impressed that, you know, he wasn't assassinated or, you know, impeachment proceedings didn't begin. And it came off as two adults actually speaking to one another. And that's much better than this sort of spiral into, you know, name-calling and rock-throwing. And so I think, in a sense, I think more people, and like I say, when I was looking at the response in Europe, there were a few people that said, you know, this is a little bit better than, you know, Trump is starting to kind of, you know, he's not the buffoon, he's not the Mr. Magoo that, you know, we've been saying he is, and that this was a necessary first step. And the fact that it was pulled off, you know, in their minds was a step in the right direction. You know, they still may say, you know, he should have done this, he should have done that. But, you know, I think that, you know, when you contrast how the Russians, you know, like people like Sergei Lavrov, he did a big interview with King and you know, Larry King. Mm-hmm. And it was quite impressive, you know, and you could tell that Larry King, when he was asking these, in quotes, hard questions, you know, if you saw the expression on his face, he was saying, well, Sergey, I'm going to have to ask you this, but I already know that this is ridiculous, but this is what's on the people's minds, and you being the foreign minister of Russia, and a long-term one, you know, all the way back to 2004, could you answer these questions? And Sergey basically said, yeah, I'll answer any of the questions because we are polite. You know, we don't say, oh no, here you come again. You know, we say, have at it. You know, you will ask the question and I will do my best to answer it. And that interview was very telling, and that went down like 3 days before the summit. But many of these questions were asked, and, you know, he came back and, you know, said some very intelligent, you heard a very intelligent person talking, whether you agree 100% with him. It was very polite, it was very balanced, it was very, you know, candid. And then you contrast that with the likes of Chris Wallace and Anderson Cooper and Michael McFaul. Even Bette Miller got into the act, and what I found, Bette Miller, she said he should be arrested when you know, Air Force One disgorges him, and then
are you talking about the
bizarre,
singer Bette
Miller? And then she got a lot. It was on all of the channels, the U.S. channels. They said, listen to Bette Miller. I mean, she's got a point there.
The singer. From all way
and they
back.
Were talking
she's
about
she's
this.
Jewish, you know.
Yeah, of course. But even more bizarre was Michael Moore, you know, of Fahrenheit 9/11 fame.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and he tweeted and he said, Trump is asked, who are you going to believe, the Russians or your own officers, meaning intelligence officers? And he refused to choose.
Michael Moore made that whole Fahrenheit 9/11 movie, which you know. I mean, you know, he's not believing the American intelligence officers. That was the whole premise of the movie.
That was the whole point, and that's what I say. You know, in his tweet,
does not know what irony is.
Of course, he said, do you support your troops or Putin? And he didn't choose. So my first thought goes out to those who serve this country. I'm sorry, but the commander-in-chief is a traitor. That was his tweet. And it just shows the stark raving madness, you know, the moral reversal among voices of Western liberalism. I mean, he's now calling on the very tyrannical agencies that he excoriated in that film, you know, to literally overthrow the president upon landing. I mean, this is pure madness. I mean, I had dreams last night of a new movie poster, you know, for Moore's new movie, and it features like Secretary Mad Dog Mattis and Michael Moore storming the ramparts of the White House together in some type of Red Dawn scenario, you know, a sequel. And I said, wouldn't it be hilarious watching Michael, you know, trying to climb over a fence with an RPG in his hands, yelling, you know, Wolverines. You know,
the fence collapsing.
Just
the fence collapsing under its considerable weight.
Yeah, I mean, and that is contrast. That type of stuff is contrast with this more Russian response of Sergei Lavrov. You know, Preskov, and then other, you know, political analysts that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I have a question because you're following not just the American media but also the Russian media.
Yeah.
And Trump and Putin had a private talk with just their translators, and this is not at all unprecedented. We know that Reagan and Gorbachev did the same.
Sure.
For at least an hour. Was it an hour or 2 hours? Is there any indication what they talked about?
Well, you know, they sort of asked this was like one of the number one questions, like what did they really talk about? They said, well, it's obvious, and they even sort of said even before this conference was started or over.
Well, we'll get to that when we come back from the break.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Might have been said in private between President Trump and President Putin. You were telling us.
William? The important thing was that was how that even went down, because if Trump would have taken his associates in with him, they wouldn't have been able to be as candid. So they felt that was a victory. Just allowing the doors to close on these two men and their translators. You know, he didn't have Pompeo, he didn't have Mattis, he didn't have his group in there, you know, because in many ways people believe that's part of the problem, you know, that he is not free to be the president. And the president should be free to at least engage in dialogue, you know, with, you know, like there's, like you said many times, there's been a lot of summits between, you know, Bush and Putin, and then the press here in the West keeps going back to Nixon, you know, and way back then. They don't want to talk about these other, you know, that because they can portray this as the United States engaging the Soviets. They don't like to see that there was a Soviet Union and now there's a Russian Federation. That's always tried to be denied. You know, they don't want to talk about the differences, you know, because the Cold War was big time, you know, when we were fighting the Soviets. So I believe that it was definitely an opportunity for them to put everything on the table. And in many ways, I believe that Putin was a sane person, that Trump could actually say, here's my problem. And mm-hmm. and the problem is that I'm not totally in control mm-hmm. of this thing yet. And the midterm elections are going to be big time for me. You know, if I get clobbered in the midterm elections, then that mandate will be even farther away from me. But mm-hmm. if I can do good in the midterms, then they're going to have to accept that I'm here to stay, and then I'll have more room to actually deal with this. I mean, if he would have come out and said, you know, I told Putin he could have Crimea. I mean, in a sense, he didn't even have to do anything. All he had, this meeting was enough for these crazies to actually start calling him a traitor, and mm-hmm. and telling everybody that you know, don't vote for him, he's a Putin agent and blah blah blah. So there are things in the dual press conference afterwards that were out there. You know, there was talk about that we need these channels being opened are great, because there's many things that we do have common ground to meet on, like counterterrorism, mm-hmm. Energy, drug trafficking, cyber security, you know, Afghanistan, Ukraine, and Syria.
Well, here's a question for you. And you mentioned Ukraine and Afghanistan, Syria. And, you know, one of the problems with that is that we've been on the wrong side. And what needs to be done is for us to cooperate with Russia, where Russia's already, you know, like in Syria. I mean, we've been helping ISIS, for God's sake. So, I mean, Putin, with Trump having so many enemies, not just in the opposition in Congress, the opposition party, but in his own party and in his own administration and, frankly, in his own family, with all the enemies he has, Putin is potentially a really important ally for him. And what is it that Putin could do that would be helpful for Trump? I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do that would be helpful for the world. But given, you know, the perceptions of Trump and Putin and things like that, what do you think that Putin could do that would be of benefit for Trump, you know, to help him with the midterms, for instance, which I wouldn't be surprised if Putin would be more than willing to do something that would help him. I mean, he can't hack our elections. That was all silly. But I mean, you know, what kind of gesture could he make that might?
Well, one of the big gestures that has already been done was the fact that here is Trump, you know, on a world stage, you know, actually engaging with supposedly the great evil. And, you know, he didn't totally capitulate. And so that, you know, he threw a few bones. Trump, you know, threw a few bones to his opposition, you know. But, you know, he already said before he went that even if, you know, I just completely steamroll over Putin and he gives me Moscow, you know, as a compensation for his aggression and his you know evilness, they would have said, you know, why didn't he give you his, you know, St. Petersburg too? I mean, nobody is going to be satisfied with what he did and what he accomplished. And I think what he really accomplished was showing that he can, you know, go to NATO and play hardball, because there's a lot of issues that need to be brought to the fore. And he can also go one and one. You know, they said, oh, this is going to be like infant baby, you know, going up against a big bear. And he came off as being one of a party of two that were rational people trying to solve some very, very difficult, you know, condition.
Right.
So that definitely put him in a better light, and that's something that Putin gave to him.
Okay, I got another question for you right after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back to the show, National People Radio, with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. So, William, I was asking about what Putin can do. One thing that Professor Stephen F. Cohen has mentioned over the past many months is perhaps he could allow for some of these adoptions of Russian children by American parents to go through. But here's something else, something that seem to have come out of their meeting. And it's this idea, supposedly, that came from President Trump, that that Russia being, you know, in Syria, that Russia would help secure Israel's demarcation line with Syria. I don't want to say border, because it's, I believe it's what they're talking about is the demarcation line within Syria. Between Israeli
Golan Heights.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess, the ceasefire line at the end of the 1973 war. And, of course, Syria and Israel had a pretty quiet frontier for many decades. But since this the civil war invaded Syria, that's one way of putting it, Israel has just kind of flown over and attacked Syrian positions at will whenever it feels like it. What I wanted to know is what you think of this, because apparently Russia has agreed to this, and apparently it is because Russia won't say that they will eject Iran from Syria, so that Iran is going to be part of the post-war Syria, but. Putting Russia, I suppose, putting Russia between Israel and Iranian forces in Syria is maybe it's something that the Israelis can accept, and maybe it's Trump's way of maybe putting a division between the wants and desires of Israelis and of American on the one hand and American Jews on the other. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, as Trump said in the press conference, you said our militaries do get along. In fact, our militaries get along better than our political leaders. Mm-hmm. And he said they coordinate in Syria under very difficult conditions. And they have coordinated their efforts in the eradication of ISIS. And he said these are things that we've already done, and they were, in a sense, in cooperation, direct cooperation with Russia. And, you know, when you say that, you know, well, you know, Israel had a very, for many years, had a very, you know, stable border between Syria and Israel, or especially if you consider that the Golan Heights is Israel, which international law doesn't.
International law says it's not, but Israel has actually annexed it, which they have not done to the West Bank.
Right. And so, but the thing about that is if you consider, well, they have, they now fighting is starting to go across the border because Israel feels attacked by Iran. But you have to, that's if you don't accept that much of the support for ISIS, you know, was actually coming from the outside. Mm-hmm. And definitely there's evidence, much evidence, that Israel was very supportive mm-hmm. of ISIS. And so, you know, maybe if you really look at it, maybe you could say, well, Israel, you know, has always been attacking Syria. They need Syria to fall so that they can take the next, you know, stepping stone to Iran.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, I've always thought that the civil war was an invasion and that mm-hmm. That Israel was absolutely instrumental to it.
And you have to understand, you know, Bibi Netanyahu came out today and said, well, I felt that one of the biggest things that happened at the summit was both were unanimous in the need to protect, you know, Israeli sovereignty from the invasion of Iranian troops. You know, and that's just Bibi Netanyahu's thing. You know, I mean, that's like the picture of the bomb, you know, ready to mm-hmm. go off. And, you know, and that wasn't exactly what they said. They just said that that was one of the concerns that was on the table that had to be dealt with in order to seek a type of resolution, which both of them want in Syria. You know, and that was something, you know, that was something, again, that Trump showed that he, you know, was not capitulating, to Putin. That he actually was sticking up for real American interests. They both have an interest in trying to keep this from bubbling over into, you know, potentially a world war. Mm-hmm. And I think that the talking, like I say, it's baby steps, but it's a very important step towards opening channels so that these working committees that have already been announced are going to sit down and start hammering this out. You're not going to have these world problems solved by two guys having, you know, a couple hours talking together.
Right.
But by opening that dialogue and starting to set up these committees that are going to go in and start hammering out some of these things is a major, you know, accomplishment. And I think Europe, actually many sources that I read yesterday in Europe, said this is good because, you know, guess where the battlefield's going to be if these two people come out swinging? You know, if they really go into a hot war, guess where the battlefield is really going to be? And so there are many voices in Europe that said this is maybe a better step than what has been offered by NATO, because NATO has been over the last 5 or 6 years been ramping up this beating the war drum, saying we got to take the fight to Putin. And, you know, even people that say we don't particularly like the Russians are saying, guess where the tanks are going to roll first?
Right.
And so there has been people coming out and saying this is good. This is better than before. And so, and then another thing, you know, one of the things that happened was, you know, on Friday, before the summit, the indictments came out from Mueller, saying that 12, you know, Russian military experts are being indicted, you know, for their attack on the 2016 elections. And what came out of that is Putin said, I am more than willing to cooperate. You know, we actually do have a treaty in effect, and if you submit this to us, we will question these people indicted with your investigators present, and we will start to see what is the basis here.
And so basically, he's calling the bluff.
Yeah, and Trump said, "That's incredible." You know, it's incredible that Putin, I mean, in many respects, this is a totally outrageous accusation, and it was timed to say, see, you know, the Russian military, we now have evidence that the Russian military, you know, in trying to project the idea that this is the KGB all over again.
Yeah.
And it was timed to cast dispersion on this whole meeting. And Trump said that the fact that Putin didn't react like, that's a lie, Putin said, you know, give us the documentation. We will work with you on this.
Right.
Okay. And, yep.
Well, you finish your thought, and then we're going to go to Jeremy from Kentucky. He's called up.
Yeah. I think that, you know, one of the things that came out of this was a total display of how irrational this phobia against any cooperation with Russia, even talking. And when that's displayed for the whole world to see, I think there was a benefit and a change that was started by just how well this went off from their point of view, not from the swamp's point of view, not from the prostitute's point of view, but it actually is being heralded around the world as at least an adult approach to solving problems.
Okay. So, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, guys. Can you hear me?
Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
So what's on your mind?
Yeah. Too much to discuss in just a few minutes, but I'm going to try to hit the highlights. A lot to think about here. First of all, I do have a question, and I'm going to ask the question, and then I want to kind of explain the question. The question is, what is the end game, Dr. Slattery and William, in your minds, for this Russian and U.S. relations? Let me explain that a little bit. It does seem like there's a lot of cooperation. There's a lot of common points with Trump and Putin. They both dislike NATO. That's been obvious. And then what's Trump really done that's really that bad? He lobbed some missiles in Syria, but did he call Putin first? I don't know. What did he talk to Putin about? I don't know. So what they say in public is almost obsolete, really, because we don't know what they talked about behind closed doors. That was a good point that you made, William. So, you know, what are they pushing for? Well, what I've noticed in history is that there's been a left and right balance of power. Now, I talk about that in Jewish circles, and there has been. There's always been a left and right balance in Jewish circles, but it's almost like that's mimicked in Gentile powers as well, going back to Constantinople and Rome. Okay? And then what happened? The power shifted after the Crusade to the Ottoman Empire. Then you had the balance of the West. And then you had the balance of the Ottoman Empire in the East. And then that shifts on up into World War One, when the Bolsheviks took Russia and communism took half the globe after World War Two. Now you've got this Western capitalist democracy, whatever, and then you've got the Eastern communist bloc. So what would good relations with Russia look like? You know, would it look like going back to maybe a Constantinople, Rome type scenario, where you had kind of like two big empires, they're separate empires, but yet they share a lot of commonality, and maybe even doing away with NATO totally and having some sort of a weird Arctic treaty. That's what England says, but I don't know how realistic that is. So that's my question: what does it look like? What does cooperation with Russia look like if we could get the oligarchical Jewish powers, left and right Jewish powers, out of the way.
Well, I'll address it briefly first. I think both Putin and Trump have their own domestic agendas, which are important to them. And A, they don't want to be distracted and weakened in their ability to pursue their domestic agendas by completely unnecessary foreign strife against each other. I think they probably both view fundamental Islam as problems, as threats to them. There's millions, tens of millions, I guess, of Muslims in Russia that are left over from the empire, and of course we've got, not so much in this country, but in Europe, and Trump is concerned over Europe. Europe's being overrun, and of course our country is being overrun, not by Muslims so much, but just by mostly from people south of the border, but otherwise. And I think that they probably realize that the artificial strife between Russia and the United States is an effort to weaken them, and certainly on this side of the Atlantic, to weaken Trump's ability to move forward with his agenda to basically turn the United States into something that somebody who was in a time machine or in a time capsule from the 1950s or early 60s could still recognize. William, what do you think?
Well, I wish I could give Jeremy an 8-part answer, and I have one in my quiver, because it's interesting that the first thing that needs to happen is for competitors, business competitors. A lot of this stuff, a lot of this format, a lot of this hostility or projected hostility is based upon there are very powerful financial considerations of trying to keep the status quo where we have a big enemy on the horizon. And neither, if Trump is a real businessman, he knows that more money can potentially be made if you are switching from guns to butter. I mean, it's just like guns are, when you promote arms and war, it really makes a few people very rich. But it doesn't, make the mass of people, the people that Trump calls his base, it's not doing them very much good. And neither Putin or Trump wants a new arms race. They don't want to have to spend a large part of their budgets playing this very dangerous game. I mean, even if you rule out that it ever goes to a hot war, I mean, it's bad for life in both places. And so, we need to, I think both of them believe that there's more to be gained by encouraging a multipolar world. Russia does their thing, we do our thing, and when we can meet in the middle, possibly we can do business for mutual benefit. And I believe that's what I think both of these people would like to do. But who is standing in the way of this? I mean, Bibi Netanyahu does not want Syria to cool down. He is doing everything. I mean, even as they're trying to put into place some of the agreements, the Minsk agreements, Bibi Netanyahu is bombing inside Syria to try to say, come at me. I would love for you to attack the Golan Heights, because then I could tell the Americans, see, this is aggression. Go after Iran. Take them out. Take Assad out. And I think that, both of these people are, it's not like let's go back, we're at each other's throats. It's like, how do you disengage this stranglehold that these military-industrial complex have on us all?
Okay, well, we'll continue this right after the break.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network.
So we still have a few minutes left. Jeremy, what did you think of what you heard, and what are your thoughts? You still with us, Jeremy?
I am. I'm here. Sorry about that, guys. I did the mute thing. I did the boomer mute thing. In answering my question, William brought up a point that we're all concerned with. Both the left and right Jewish powers in Russia and in the U.S. want a greater Israel. Netanyahu and Putin are almost as chummy as Donald Trump and Netanyahu. So I could almost see the two countries of Russia and America.
Yeah, I would have to disagree that, you know, if you listen to the details, and I've gone into the details of this, much of the chumminess comes from Bibi Netanyahu said, yeah, I was there, and he's on the same page with me, 100%. And then that's what gets reported. But if you actually hear the actual words, Putin says, I'll talk to anyone. I mean, Bibi Netanyahu in Israel is not going to go away, you know. But
okay,
assume that they are on the same team, I mean, I could give you hundreds of examples that shows where Putin actually said, no, that's not completely true.
Okay, so Jeremy.
I retract the chummy quote. What I'm saying is that I could see both countries coming to some sort of a negotiation with Israel to give them the Golan Heights and the greater Israel and then negotiate on the rest of Syria. I could see that happening because of Jewish power. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that, you know, in your, you know, YouTube that you did on, you know, everything you were, you wanted to know about Dugin and was afraid to ask, you bring up some very good questions. There has to be a historical understanding of this very long-term battle between East and West, you know, between, you know, Western powers and Russia. And to answer that, you have to go deeper into Dugin and see him in context. And if you see that, I see a lot of similarities with your beliefs and with Dugin's beliefs. But it gets blown out of shape by the usual suspects that are trying to tell you beforehand what Dugin is all about. I've looked into Dugin in great detail, and it's not like the Jewish press says he is. You know, he is a Christian. He believes in a multipolar world, and he's quite biblical. I mean, if I could share some things with you that would show that Dugin really takes a lot of his information from the Bible. You know, he believes in that. And so if you see that, then it puts it, and I think you're very wise to say, hey, you know, do we go back to the time when Constantinople was Byzantine Empire? I mean, is that where we go back to? Well, there's some truth to that. You have to at least know what that was about to be able to answer the questions that are happening right now.
Mm. Okay, we just have a minute left. Jeremy, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I'll have to give you a call this week, William. And usually I text people before I call them out of courtesy, but I don't know if that's your cell or not. But I'll just give you a call.
Yeah, I don't believe in cell phones, so.
Okay.
I'll take your call.
All right. Well, that was an exciting show. And I'm sure tomorrow we're going to have another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you both.
Thanks, William.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.